Nobody really want fuego. Messiah will bring fire down worse than Waco. Buy you some coffee and Lego, your Eggos, your sandwich with mayo and two slices of mayo. Sitting at home on the couch playing Halo, but the Messiah ain't playing no Wiggles. Games, women and pants gonna get it. Flames, brothers keeping no commandments. Same, calling our armies a favor. Even with your NATO and soldiers with Dracos. Just tell me, how can you stop a tornado or better yet the lava from the volcano? They really can't, bro. They have to pay, bro. The most I say so. So in chase they go for all their wicked atrocities they owe. For all their wicked atrocities they owe. From San Diego to Trinidad Tobago, I'm spitting these words so all Israelites they know. Keeping commandments the only way we grow, so we can defeat the nation Galileo. Nation Galileo, get it? Cause they pale. He's bringing them hell for every bill of sale. So family, just examine yourself. When that fuego come, you don't wanna get left. Forsake your sins so you complete the test. Then you can have complete rest from all your stress. Fight to do right to your very last breath, or stay wicked and receive second death. Destruction of enemies is muy bueno. Make sure that's one of the things that you pray for. Into the kingdom, the sinners, they can't go. The sinners can't go. So we say, hasta luego, hasta luego.
Brothers really don't want fuego. Sisters really don't want fuego. Nobody really want fuego. From the one that's super dead.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Fuegos really don't want fuego.
Turn it.
Nobody really want fuego.
Hey,
from the one that's super dead.
Fuego.
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 Brother, you don't want that fuego.
Hey. Fuego.
Fuego.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome to the Power Hour, the Lost 144K. I am Captain Joshua.
Shalom, happy Sabbath. This is Captain Amariah.
Shalom, happy Sabbath. Soldier Hezekiah.
All right, all right. So all praise to the Most High for putting on our spirits to keep another Sabbath. Call-in number, if you want to call in with questions, any comments, 516-531-9797. 516-531-9797. So I'm going to start off with a scripture, and then I'll kind of set the tone, and then I'll throw it to you guys, and you know, we can go from there as I post links. So let's start with Deuteronomy 28, and let's start at verse 49. Every now and then we gotta go back, keep a little basic. You know, we gotta remember that sometimes we get comfortable in this captivity and we forget that we are in captivity. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, our target audience and trying to push this out to people who still aren't aware that they are yet this day in their captivity. We gotta touch on these things and push a little reminder out every now and then. So read this real quick.
The book of Deuteronomy 28, verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth.
Right. So every word in the Bible is very deliberate. You know, he could have said, an osprey. He could have said a hawk. He could have said whatever else, vulture, whatever he wanted to say. Mm-hmm. He mentions the eagle, right? In the Bible, in its repetitiveness, it tells us multiple times the symbol of our oppressors is the eagle, right? So it says, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far. Going back historically, we understand that this is talking about, you know, first the conquistadors, then, of course, other Europeans coming and putting us in captivity. And it says the eagle would be their symbol, right? Come on.
A nation whose tongues thou shalt not understand.
A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Now, what we must understand and what we can't forget is that this is a perpetual curse, right? So in the nowadays, almost everybody speaks English, almost any country you go to. So a lot of times people think, oh, the Bible was for then and not for now, right? And it's important to understand that you still see the relevance of these things today. And the way we do that is we'll show you modern-day examples or iterations of this, of the curses that we're under. Read on.
A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of old, nor show favor to the young.
And this is the crux of what we're going to speak about today as we go over some of these articles and talk about this stuff. You have to see there's no empathy, there's no sympathy for our people. And I got to search for the other example because I want the actual name of the guy, but you understand what I'm talking about when I bring it out. A nation of fierce countenance, and I think oftentimes we forget that because of the illusion of inclusion, that, you know, the people that we reside with here in this country We mistake them for friendly, for what have you. I got nice friends that are, you know, of this nation or that. Listen, the scripture says the nation of fierce countenance, and it's talking about Esau chiefly. They're the ones, right? The other nations are confederate with them, which the Bible calls Esau or Edom, and the world ignorantly calls the white man or the Caucasian man.
So ignorantly.
Yeah, so ignorantly. And it says that they have a fierce countenance, meaning they're not going to regard us. It's gonna benefit them. It's gonna favor them if they do any type of nice service to us. But they do not have regard for us. They do not. And no matter whether you're old, young, they're not gonna show us any type of favor, any type of compassion as they do this. So, before I jump into the links, what I'm gonna look at, and I'm sure you probably were seeing on the group. You know, we got the brothers that, you know, kind of look for articles and stuff for us now. I want to talk about, I'm going to talk about the little boy that got painted with a bullet hole on his head in school, right? It was supposed to be for a drama class, but I definitely agree that's like highly insensitive considering the lack of regard that is shown to young black men, to Hispanic men, and how we're treated and how we're policed and how we're seen. And then I have another article that we're going to talk about, this brother that was found not guilty of a crime but then sentenced to 7 years in prison for it.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. So, you know, now this happened, I think, a couple years back, but the point was it was a couple years back, not 80 years back, but 100 years back. I'm not talking about pre-civil rights. Like, this is modern-day America, and where you can be convicted for a crime.
This is not pre-civil rights. This is a post-Black Lives Matter.
Right. And let me be very clear. What I mean is, not only is he maintaining his innocence, the jury found him not guilty, yet somehow he still wound up in jail. So we're going to read the article. This article is just kind of a summary of it. Apparently this young man has like a big history of what's going on in regards to this. But, gosh, it was... it's kind of shocking when I read that. And then to see the hypocrisy of how they show no favor to us. We're going to touch on this other article where there's a white doctor who drugged and molested a black woman in emergency rooms, and after only serving 2 years in prison, was freed. So you have a man who was found not guilty by a jury of his peers, convicted and sent to prison for 7 years. And then you have this white doctor who was found guilty in the court of law for heinous acts, drugging, molesting black women, and served 2 years in prison.
That's insane.
So, you know, I'm going to run the gamut of those articles in a moment. I'm going to go ahead and post some links if you guys want to just bring anything out, talk about anything while I do that before I jump into the article.
Right. Let me get to Rock, the 12th chapter. And the 10th verse, right? Because I'm going to go here first. Because first, Captain mentioned that that they show no sympathy, nor do they show sympathy for people for these things that we're going through, these atrocities that are being committed to us. One, a lot will come with the whole thing of sympathizing, right? Which is fine, because some actually do believe in their hearts, in their heart of hearts. No, I'm not racist. I love all people. Jesus is love. So they can sympathize, but these people can never empathize with us as a people because they've never gone through what gone. Matter of fact, let me start this first. Let me get Daniel real quick. Let me get Daniel 9. I'm going to start there first. Because this nation cannot empathize with us because they've never gone through the things that we've gone through. Daniel 9, verse 11.
The book of Daniel 9, verse 11. Yay.
All Israel,
tribes of the nation of Israel, is blacks, and African Americans.
We have all fallen back from our heritage, which is God's redone.
Even by the party. That they might not obey the voice.
So we don't obey that which is the Lord's. We don't do what the Bible says. Now we obey what our scriptures say. We cleave on the things that fulfill our love. Verses God says we should do.
Living our life.
Therefore, the curse poured upon us.
So the curse, one of the curses that we started in Deuteronomy 29, was that they would come against us with swift, and he would oppress us always.
Read. And the oath that is written along the law of Moses,
the servants of God. Because we have sinned against God. The thing that we confirmed was that the curse would come upon this entire nation, all tribes of the people, and he heard the word which he spoke against us. And again, judge us by bringing upon us great evil. And under the heaven have not been done.
Reason why this is even more
insensitive to this particular article because it took place in Chicago. Chicago is one of the mass murder capitals of the U.S., where blacks are being gunned down at a rapid rate.
Right.
And then you put, and then you paint a bullet hole on the seven-year-old's head.
Mm-hmm. All right, so check it out. It says the mother of a second grader was horrified to find her son with what looked like a bullet hole painted onto his forehead last week. And it's a bullet hole. I think if you're showing it there, it's a bullet hole. Aaron Jackson, 7, had face makeup put on as part of an activity in a drama class. Oh, it's actually Alabama.
Oh, okay, so it was Fox News Chicago. Okay.
Yeah, Fox News Chicago reported it.
My apologies.
At Phillips Academy in Birmingham, Alabama. But it wasn't removed afterward, and Jackson left school with the realistic-looking wound design still on his face. His mother, Zakiya Milhouse, shared a photo of Jackson in the makeup to her Facebook page, expressing outrage over the teacher's decision to paint a bullet hole. You know, and you got some people that are going to be like, oh, you're being overly sensitive, blah, 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 this and that. You got to understand the context. A bullet hole on a white person's head is probably not a big deal,
right?
You put it on a black or Hispanic's head, and it's like, it's insensitive.
Right.
This is what I'm saying, or that scripture is so appropriate when it talks about they have no favor to the young, no regard.
Right.
They're not able to ever understand, and it's a good point that you brought out, Captain, because they haven't gone through what we've gone through.
Nope.
They haven't been able to. And listen, I'm not saying each and every one of us may have went through all levels of extremes of this, but there's a commonality, there's a familiarity that you're able to look at each other and say, hey, okay, that's my people, right? Like,
right.
And to know everything that we've been through, and for them to put that, of course they won't see it as a big deal.
Right,
because
exactly.
That's that insensitivity that they
exactly.
have.
Exactly. Right.
And that's a product of that white supremacist attitude.
Right. And then that's why, too, that whole insensitivity training that they get is BS. Because you can train them in being insensitive all you want, but they're never going to fully get it.
Right.
Ever.
Right, right. Now, listen, there's a difference between this whole let's be overly politically correct and real insensitivity like this, right? So, because I'm definitely not, you know, some people are like overly offended by,
right.
You know, what gender do you prefer? That's like the what I'm really gearing at. There is no plight that gay people have went through. Hey, I saw a comedian the other day. I'm sorry, I'm not going to digress too much, but you know, they try to compare the whole gay rights thing to civil rights and
right.
the stuff that we went through, and they'll show more sensitivity to that than they will
mm-hmm.
to this, right?
Right.
The skit in Chappelle where he talks about
yeah.
you know that he can't say faggot on the air,
right?
But he could say nigger with impunity,
right.
Like he said, I lost my train of thought as I was saying that. So. What they'll never understand is that they haven't gone through those things, so they go ahead and do this. Now, with the gay rights, that's what I was saying. They make it seem like, you know, oh, you have to call somebody this, that, and the other. They'll go to arm and battle and say, if he wants to be called a woman, you should be calling him a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You're insensitive if you don't, right? So you want me to change what's just not true and lie and all this other stuff. But then you have something like this where – obviously, you know, I mean, look at what just happened with the Levi guy in Dallas that just got shot in his own apartment eating
mm-hmm.
ice cream.
Right, right.
So granted, the female cop got convicted. She got 10 years. But even that's an example of what we're talking about here, that how the Stockholm syndrome was so strong that you saw like the black judge giving her
mm-hmm.
the court officer,
right.
like caressing her hair.
Right. Well, and that, and then we can't prove it, but her conviction came at the cost of someone else losing their life as well, too.
Right.
Because the only reason why she got convicted was somebody actually stood up and testified against her, and
right.
then he mysteriously died like a week later.
Right. Yeah, that guy mysteriously
yeah.
died. And
right.
you know, you're not hearing too much about that in the media now.
At
like
all.
Supposedly it was like a freaking that like they traveled 400 miles to sell him weed.
Insane.
That don't make no damn sense.
Right. Right. For a dime bag. Come on.
Right.
Come on.
For a dime bag. All right. So going back to this. So they did this in drama class, and my boy said the teacher said it's like he got shot, Milhouse wrote in the post. I don't care if it's Halloween or not. See, and there's another reason why you shouldn't be celebrating no damn evil-ass Halloween, right? I think that's coming up Thursday. That's one of the ones that's just so obvious that it's not – there's nothing good about it, right? Then you got certain places like they'll celebrate it like the week before and be like, oh,
yeah.
we're not doing it for
yeah.
Halloween.
Or they call it –
career day.
Wow. Yeah, something.
They'll like mask it in some other in some other way that's still evil as hell.
Bro, I saw a post on Facebook. There's like a church down where I used to live in Levine, and they're doing a thing on I think tomorrow. It's called Trunk or Treat at the church. And so instead of going door to door,
Trunk or Treat,
you bring the candy and it's supposed to be a safer environment and you go to people's cars. But it's the church sponsoring it.
Right.
So the church is going to sponsor people coming dressed up as demons
and
little. And we know that demons don't really look like that, but, you know.
You know
they actually look like little white people.
Right. You know what I'm saying too? Right. That's because they actually are white people. But you know what's crazy is that, especially for places out here, right, like in Arizona, places that actually legalize marijuana, is that edibles, you can buy them as candy.
Right.
You can buy them as Starburst. You can buy them as
gummies
Nerds.
And stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, all those things.
Watch, you're going to see people get little kids getting high.
All kinds of stuff, bro. Right. People are evil. People will do things like
yes,
that.
Yes, they will.
Just because they're the iron rusted. There you go.
There you go. You got it right. So it was supposed to be a gunshot wound, Milhouse told AL.com. That's when I got upset. A gunshot wound. This actually happens to our black young men. If you saw it in person, it looked real. And this is the part where they won't understand that sensitivity. They'll relate to, he wants to be called she and she wants to be called he and defend all that. But something like this, you guys are overly insensitive. Slavery was a long time ago. No, slavery's still alive today.
Hey, there was a meme on Facebook. It said Titanic in, 2012 and then our 1912 and then Titanic in 2019. And it said women and children first.
Oh,
right?
I think I saw that.
Right. And then the next one said women and children first. And he says, are you assuming my gender?
Are you assuming my gender? Yeah, right. And he got a picture of a guy and he's like women and children first. He's like, are you assuming my gender?
Right. Yeah. That's terrible.
Ridiculous. I know. I was filling something out the other day, medical forms. And so medically you want to put down what you are, right? There's things that you need. And there's another reason. I don't want to go too left into that. That whole thing of you can just change yourself. You can't. You know what I'm saying? Like there's certain things that like only women deal with and suffer with, and certain things only men deal with and get sick with.
Right.
So it's important medically that they know your sex, right? What they say, your gender. So now what they've done is, and I kind of like the way they did this because they're not putting extra options on medical forms so you can say I'm he, she, or whatever.
Right.
It says, what was your gender at birth?
At birth, right.
Ooh.
Right.
That's a cut.
Right.
I saw that. I said,
there's no way around it. That's a cut.
I stopped for a second as I was filling out the form and
there you go.
Little applause.
Exactly right.
I said, I got to get a little applause for that one.
Right.
Got him.
You should have took a picture of it.
What was your gender at birth? I should have took a picture, obviously. Yeah. I'm not on my P's and Q's like that. Messed up. So it says, other parents shared similar concerns on Milhouse's post. One of them writing, this is very offensive and very demeaning. It sends the wrong signal with the way black men are losing their lives at the hand of gun violence. And that carries over to what you were saying in Chicago, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just cops killing us and all this other stuff. It's just the violence that we deal with, by and large, that other communities don't.
Right.
And it's really a result of those captivities, of that slavery, of that Daniel 9 that you brought out.
Mm-hmm.
The right. things that we've suffered. What makes them so horrific is that they still resonate with us today.
Right.
We still suffer from those things today. The largest one being the lack of our real identity.
Right.
And this is what creates that confusion of faces. And it puts us, on this thing where we're hating each other and we have no identity. So we identify with gangs. And listen, I'm not saying all of them are good. We know 2/3 of Israel must die. They evil as hell and they're not going to make it.
Right.
But within that mist, it's not for us to know who's right or wrong.
Right.
So you see the results of the slavery just by as the byproduct of the way we are. Where's that scripture where it says we're wild bulls in the net? Can you get that for me?
Yeah.
Because that's largely a result of that confusion of faces and us not really having our full identity. Damn, I didn't want to minimize this. I messed this up. There we go. I don't know how I did that. I keep all my tabs open and this tab closed down. All right. Let me pull this back up. You got it?
Yeah, I got it. The book of Isaiah, chapter 51, verse 20. Thy sons have fainted. They lying at the head of all the streets.
You know what they mean? They fainted. It means that they got no real heart in them. They don't stand up for the Most High. They don't stand up manfully for the things that we're supposed to be doing. Our sons have fainted for lack of knowledge and understanding, which is a result of what? Our captivities. Yeah, we know that in our spirit, you read biblically, we always wanted to do evil, but not all of us. Right. There was a good portion of us that always wanted to do right. But we had to suffer these things together as a people. And it says our sons have fainted, meaning we're not going to be able to stand up to the proud lineage that we have. Right. Right. So we don't know that anymore. We don't know that we come from royalty. Come on.
They lie at the heads of all the streets.
They lie at the heads of all the streets. Right. So. This is the gang violence, the dead bodies, all right? This is also them hanging out on the street corners, right? This is my block, whatever, so on and so forth. Come on.
As a wild bull in a net.
As a wild bull in a net. So you got to think about that, right? The similitude that's being used here. You see a bull generally, even not in a net, right? They do the running of the bull. What's a bull known for, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ferocity, blind rage, right? They're right. Just going to come at you. Now you put that bull in a net, right? And what is the net? You got to look at these things. The nets is Christianity.
Right.
The nets are these the net is this politics. It's the last hire, first fired. It's this disregard and disdain of putting makeup on here. It's the way the criminal justice system treats us. It's the way the school system treats us. The school to prison pipeline. We're oppressed on a level that is so much stronger than what it ever was physically, because it's so much more psychological and emotional now. So, of course, what happens? You have this rage inside of you because you know something's not right. You're not just going to be pacified and say, hey, this is the way things are supposed to be. So what do? We lash out. And if now you're running around like a bull, right, with this blind rage, guess who else you hurting?
Right.
Everybody that's in that net with you,
right. Mm-hmm.
And everybody that's right outside that net trying to clip it and clip you loose, even if it's your own people.
Right.
Because you're full of this blind rage because of all this. So you see how systemic, how impactful all these things that have been done to us is. This is what it talks about when it says, under the whole earth have nothing been done. Under the whole sun have nothing, the heavens have nothing been done like been done unto the children of Israel.
Yeah, this is why the scripture says that they search out iniquity. They encompass a diligent search.
Right.
It's so that way these things can be impactful to us. That way our people can become assimilated without hesitation. Now it's versus kicking against the pricks. They just so easily take on these customs and traditions that's been passed on for hundreds of years due to the curse that came upon us as a people.
Right, right. And then I'm telling you, confusion of faces is a heavy thing.
It really
is.
You
got to know who you are, man. I mean, think about it. Let's go real trivial with it. But it's not really trivial if you look behind it. Most of our favorite type of movies, right? Let's just go. I'll narrow it down even more. Superhero movies, right? That's been the last thing for like the last 20 years that are like, ooh, everybody's into superhero movies.
Mm-hmm.
And what do most people love about superhero movies, right? Yeah, the action and everything else. But there's a relation to that awakening when these people realize that they're somebody special.
Right.
Usually they're a victim of some sort of tragedy,
right.
as in Batman and Superman,
right?
Right? Peter Parker, right?
Yeah.
Or they were weakly and they didn't have any type of stature or anything.
Right.
And what happens is they go through this process of discovery. And biblically, when you look at that, what the process of discovering where the superpower should be is your identity in the Bible, understanding that you're the Israelites that the Bible speaks of. And when you awaken to that, it takes you out of that state, right?
Right.
But what happens here is they look at this stuff and the point is the identity is so important because they find out who they really are and who they're really meant to be.
No, right. That's why. That's
it gives
why,
them purpose. It gives them focus.
That's right, why 1 right. Kings 8 is so heavy.
Yes.
If they shall bethink themselves. That is the first process. I mean, the Lord says that numerous times. He says it again in the book of Ezekiel 37.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, those dry bones can't come together if they don't know who they
right.
are.
Right. Right, right. He tell you, you can put all that stuff on you, but then you need that breath of life to go in there, right?
Right.
So that's the dry bones talk about the identity and everything. So, you know, you look at those superhero tropes and it's like, gosh, so Of course, identity is important, because what do we love about it? That we can identify with that and we say,
right.
wow.
Right.
Right. You tend to impress yourself on characters in a movie and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you look at, you pick a side,
right.
you know, you don't sit there and whatever. It's just the way we are. And you see that. And this is why visual is so important. People say you shouldn't have anything visual, whatever. Those things are important to have because it helps our learning. It helps our understanding and it helps to inspire us. And what we love about it is they all come from some place where they've had some hardship or some struggle. And then they're told that they're special. It's revealed that they're special. And you kind of see yourself in that. And you're like, man, no, that'd be dope if I was Spider-Man. You know, that'd be dope if I was Iron Man. And, you know, whatever it is, you could take the symbolism and apply it to the scripture. If it's Tony Stark, it's okay. His is not real powers. It's the armor.
Right.
Well, okay. The whole armor of God. All
right.
Peter Parker. All right. Inside him, he had this thing, right? He got bit by a spider, or he got bit by the commandments, whatever it is. They take it from that to let you see that, but we don't have that. So what you have is this frustration, what you have is this anger, right? And this is that effect of being wild bulls in the net. And part of it is this insensitivity, right? So let me finish up this article here. It says, after posting the photo of Jackson in the gunshot makeup online, Milhouse received a call from the school principal, who apologized and called the incident unacceptable. Milhouse said that when the teacher who taught the unit apologized, he said he didn't really think it was a big deal, but assured her he would remove the unit from his lesson plan. So the teacher said, I really didn't think it was a big deal,
right?
But remove the unit from his lesson plan. Birmingham City Schools released a statement in response to the incident, explaining that permission slips had been sent home to parents before students participated in the theater class unit involving the makeup. So they basically try to cover themselves. Well, we sent a permission slip home.
Right, right.
But people still felt that the depiction of a bullet hole was inappropriate for the lesson. One commentator on Milhouse's post wrote, I can guarantee the permission slip did not indicate that her young child would be participating in a demonstration of gun violence.
Right.
It's highly offensive and inappropriate.
Right.
So this was the statement that the Birmingham City Schools put out. They said, Birmingham City Schools is aware of an image posted by a parent on social media depicting a wound on a student's head. The student was participating in a theater class unit on stage, film, and special effects. The teacher sent permission forms home with students, making parents aware of the unit and requesting permission to put makeup on students. Students were asked if they would like the makeup on their hands or faces, and this student chose his face. Students are never forced to participate, and they had the option to skip a design. A 7-year-old is not going to understand the gravity of gun violence.
Right, absolutely.
And what that represents.
Right.
This is why you have adults to guide them.
Right.
All right. This is the adults are supposed to be there to be that shield and that barrier. You're sending these kids to school. You expect that they're going to protect that and have that sense to really. The little boy probably didn't even get to look in the mirror. Didn't know what the hell they were putting on his face.
Right.
They told him it was a bullet hole. Of course he's not going to understand the gravity of that.
Exactly.
The teacher and principal called the student's mother to apologize for the incident, and the teacher assured the student's mother that no malice was behind the depiction. And that doesn't excuse the behavior. This goes back to what we opened up with, where it says, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. This what's deemed as insensitivity, there was no malice behind it. What do you mean, intentional malice? Because of course that was a malicious thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Your lack of understanding as to what we deal with, and from what I understand, Birmingham is highly black, like it's a black demographic.
Right. Right.
So it says the teacher also stated the only aim in teaching makeup techniques is to help students appreciate and understand the technical elements of performing arts. How about appreciating and understanding the technical elements of what the little boy is going to go through and what environment that he lives in? As a culturally responsive school system, Birmingham City Schools takes issues like this very seriously and does not condone the graphic nature of this lesson on special effects. We regret any issues and perceptions this incident may have caused, and this portion of the lesson will be removed from the unit. So that was their statement. That was their apology. That was that. On that piece of it. Anyway, I got to get to this. I don't want to run out of time in dealing with this. So we got to deal with this brother that was found not guilty. So let me read this really quick. Black man found not guilty of crime, still sentenced to 7 years in prison. In today's example of how the American justice system treats black bodies, we take a look at Ramad Chapman, a 24-year-old man who was found not guilty by a jury of his peers, but will serve 7 years in prison because, come on, you know why.
Right.
This is what the article says.
Right.
Read the first two words of the headline again.
Right.
Black man. Okay. According to the Independent, in 2012, Chapman was convicted of breaking and entering for stealing a television worth $120. It was his first offense. All right. So as a teenager, I guess he did this as a young man.
Wow.
Not a teenager, 19, but, you know, legal age. It was his first offense because he was, again, you know why,
right,
black. Chapman was sentenced to 5 years probation. Right. You read that right. He was 19 and a judge thought it necessary to make him property of the state for half a decade. Mm. During his probation period, court papers show that he paid his restitution, attended every meeting, finished his community service, and even kept himself employed. So because of his prior conviction and probation, he did what he had to do, right?
Right.
And that is a little bit of a severe 5 years. I mean, okay. Even though it's probation, it's still 5 years of restriction, right?
Right.
So it says, unbeknownst to Chapman, he was identified as a suspect in a convenience store robbery in 2014.
Mm.
So this thing happened in 2012. He's 2 years into serving his probation, right, doing everything right. In 2014, he was a suspect in a convenience store robbery, and he was never made aware of it.
Right.
Although he was on probation, which means that he was required to submit his whereabouts to law enforcement monthly, Chapman was never arrested for the robbery. So they always knew where he was.
Right.
He was on probation, following it correctly. And although he was identified as a suspect, the cops decided never to make an arrest. In fact, according to him, he had no idea he was a suspect.
Right.
In 2015, Chapman learned that he had been accused of the crime. So he found out a year later, oh, they accused me of this crime.
Right.
So like most thug gangsters who need to be removed from society for the safety of the good citizens, Chapman did what any criminal would do after evading law enforcement officers for a year. He turned himself in. You can sense the sarcasm in this, right?
Right. Right.
He was not evading law enforcement. He was following his probation.
Right.
So he went because he said, well, this might affect the remaining of my probation.
Right.
I need to go. And so, again, he's trying to be honest and do the right thing.
Right.
And he turned himself in. Chapman said that he only turned himself in for the crime because he knew he was innocent.
Right.
So he went so that he could kind of clear his name. But Judge Jack Niedrak wanted to send Chapman to jail. That's not just hyperbole. When he was arrested, Chapman offered to plead guilty to assault in exchange for having the armed robbery charge dropped. But the judge rejected the deal. So they were charging him with this anyway, and he knew how it would affect them because of everything else that he had going on. So just like the system does, a lot of times they force you into pleading something.
Right, right.
They persuade you. I mean, you saw what happened with the Central Park Five.
Right.
They coerce confessions, right? Because they're like, well, it's going to be worse for you anyway.
Right.
So it's like, it's not, you can't really rely on, if I'm innocent, that's the end of it. If it's painted well enough and they present enough evidence that you can get these people to convict,
right,
they'll convict you whether or not you're guilty or not. And as you saw with it, again, the Central Park Five is such a great example because years later, the convictions will overturn and you find out what went on. But,
right,
you know, one of the things you never get back, despite the money they get and everything, time,
yeah,
each second that passes, you can never recoup.
Right.
And those guys spend years in jail. So Chapman obviously understood this. So he said, listen, I'll plead guilty to an assault charge. So that you could drop the armed robbery charge because he knows how the system works.
Right.
So he's like, well, crap, I'm being charged with this even though I wasn't there.
Right.
But the judge rejected the deal. Chapman wanted to enter an Alford plea. I've never heard of this. But an Alford plea apparently means the defendant pleads guilty but maintains his innocence. Mm. But the judge wasn't happy. So I got to look a little more into what that Alford plea is because that's kind of interesting. So Chapman went to trial. It turns out that during the trial, the police had no evidence for the case.
Right.
They didn't find a weapon. They didn't recover any money. There was no video. In fact, the clerk who identified Chapman ID'd him on Facebook over a year after the robbery.
Wow. Wow.
So it was a year later. You know, I mean, you're not going to remember stuff. So the jury found Chapman not guilty of all charges. Let me say that again. The jury found Chapman not guilty of all charges.
Should have been dismissed.
But the judge wanted to send him to jail. So he did.
Wow.
Niedrak still thought Chapman was guilty. So he revoked Chapman's probation and sent him to jail. Now Chapman must sit in prison until 2022.
Wow.
To be clear, Chapman's original probation would have been finished 5 years after he was sentenced on July 6, 2012. Although that initial punishment seems harsh, Chapman complied with every requirement of the court. Even when faced with other criminal accusations, he turned himself in. By all accounts, he was a model citizen. So Ramar Chapman is either in prison for a $120 TV he tried to steal in 2012 or is wasting away behind bars for a crime he didn't commit. Either is an injustice. Both are indicative of the statistics that show black men receive 60% longer sentences than their white counterparts and are twice as likely to receive mandatory minimums.
Right.
There is no logic or fairness in it. It is abundantly clear that justice for people of color is an oxymoron. It is as real as Bigfoot being chased by a mermaid riding a unicorn. For us, due process is a myth.
Right.
It's an old wives' tale we hear about but have never witnessed. A black man expecting to be treated fairly within the legal system would be just as well served closing his eyes, standing in front of a bathroom mirror, and reciting an incantation. There is no justice for a black man in America.
Right.
There is no justice for a black man in America.
Right.
No favor, no regard. That's that fierce countenance.
Right.
You know, this brother was innocent. And gosh, it's scary to think that that could happen. Like, you know, like.
Yeah, that's insane, bro.
You know, so I'm telling you, man, it's you want to talk about living like in fear and, you know, the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, that's it. So contrary wise, I want to bring this part out. A white doctor who drugged and molested black woman in an emergency room for heat after serving only 2 years in prison.
Wow.
So this brother was not guilty and got seven.
Right.
This guy was found guilty and only served two.
Yeah, this goes into the stat that this article had listed about how 60% serve longer sentences than their white counterparts.
Yep.
Two years, that's insane, bro.
So a former New York doctor who was jailed for sexually assaulting a black woman has been freed. David Newman served only 2 years after admitting to the act to the charging of the victim, Asia Newman, who said she has had to retell her story more than a dozen times. In 2016, Asia went to the emergency room at Mount Sinai Hospital in Manhattan, complaining of shoulder pain. There, according to prosecutors, Dr. Newman sedated and molested her, leaving on her so much semen. Ooh.
Right.
State Supreme Court of Manhattan sentenced Dr. Newman to 2 years in prison after he admitted to assaulting four women, including Asia, who had been his patients at Mount Sinai Hospital. So he admitted it, right? Prosecutor said that Dr. Newman had a penchant for targeting young minority women between ages 18 and 29, and that in each of the four cases he had touched a woman's breast for no medical reason. The ordeal Asia went through in the hands of Dr. Newman etched a dark spot on her being. I have not been able to trust a doctor since, and I never will, she told the court during the sentencing. In a recent interview with New York Magazine, Asia opened up on her disturbing experience, saying she felt Dr. Newman hastily moving the bed, wedged himself between the wall and the bed, and masturbated while he molested her.
Wow.
I was in and out of consciousness, and one of the first things I felt was him groping my breasts, she recollected. It wasn't really real until I realized I couldn't move. I can't say I know my eyes weren't open, but I couldn't see. I felt the bed move, and the groping was making me, like, get off me, she added. Asa said the former doctor wiped her roughly after molesting her with the bed sheet and called a bitch. According to the New York Magazine, Asia couldn't leave the emergency department until 4 hours after the attack, and when she did, she vomited on the half-mile walk to her sister's house. She carried a large plastic bag into which she had stuffed her hospital gown and bedding to use as forensic evidence. During his sentencing, Dr. Newman said that what he did was awful and disgusting, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry to everyone involved. I'm sorry to physicians everywhere and patients everywhere. Justice Michael J. Obus called the doctor's behavior a gross violation of your position of trust. However, he added that I actually believe that you are sincere in your apology.
No. Oh, that's it? I'm sorry.
Right.
Everyone, he's sorry. It's okay. Everyone go home. He's sorry.
Dr. Newman rose to prominence in the medical field as an advocate for emergency care reform. He wrote about the relationships between doctors and patients and other issues he confronted while working in hospitals, including essays that were published in the New York Times. So, you know, he was one of those with, like, some prestige or what have you.
Right.
And yikes.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just you know, I'm thinking of the other one and I can't find the name. There was one recently, probably a couple years ago, with the dude that was caught in the college campus raping the chick behind the dumpster.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
The judge said he was a good student and had a promising future, so he only gave him 6 months.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, he was on the swim team.
He was white. He was on the swim team.
Yeah.
Right.
And they only gave him 6 months.
Wow.
And it said that the two guys that found him and tried to fight him off of her, that they were so traumatized by the way he was like violating her, and then the father was like that, oh, he was just having a good time, like, you know, yeah. it was basically trying to say she was consenting to it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like the two guys that saw it, they were like so traumatized, like one of them was like crying and everything when he went through it, and you know, because he was just like, yo, like, I can't believe I'm seeing this, you know?
Right.
Like, how depraved are you? Like, how disgusting is that?
Right. The judge had said that he had a promising future, so he didn't want to put a stain, on his name, pretty much. That way it wouldn't hinder any kind of future advancements for him.
But yet you got this judge that overruled the jury to incarcerate this young man.
Yo, that's like scary that stuff can even happen to our people. Like, to know that you're innocent, that you willingly turn yourself in, and then you get cornered to where you're saying, okay, I'll take this charge, even though I know I didn't do it, to keep me from this charge, and then you still get prosecuted.
The sad thing is, right, it happens a lot more than we probably realize.
Right. Right.
You have these cases that actually make the media. How many thousands more are there like that?
Right. And they only show it actually to black people, you know what I mean? But it's happening to all 12 tribes.
Oh, well, that's by design, too. We've spoken about it. It happens to Hispanics all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. So, listen, when I read black, I'm not just thinking of African-American. Right. I'm thinking of all our people that are going through that. So, you know, yeah. So I'm glad you bring that out. You know, they say black, but trust me, it's happening to Hispanics as well.
Right. Yeah, do you guys see the 16-year-old Hispanic boy that just got shot in the back of the head?
Wow.
Running from the cops, unarmed, and they shot him in the back of the head.
Right. Wow.
16 years old.
I did see something about that, but I didn't watch it.
Yeah, 16 years old. Insane. I actually meant to post that up too, but then I started working in.
Brock Turner.
Yeah, that's the freaking,
it sounds like a pompous name, right?
Yeah, it does. Right. Brock Turner.
Right.
Let me see what comes up on that. People versus Turner. Brock Allen Turner was a criminal case which convicted Stanford University student athlete Brock Allen Turner of three counts of felony sexual assault. Let me see what it says here. Hold on. Let me see this. Turner sexually assaulted 20-year-old Chanel Miller on January 18, 2015, while she was unconscious. Turner was caught by Peter Johnson and Carl Frederick Arndt, who held him until police arrived. Turner was arrested and released the same day after posting $150,000 bail. Mm. Turner was indicted on 5 charges, 2 for rape, 2 for felony sexual assault, and 1 for attempted rape. On February 2, 2015, he pled not guilty to all 5 charges. The trial concluded on March 30, 2016, with Turner being convicted of 3 charges of felony sexual assault. Santa Clara County Superior Court Judge Aaron Persky sentenced Turner to 6 months in jail, followed by 3 years of probation.
Right.
Mm. The dude stole a $120 TV and got 5 years probation.
Right.
And then now resentenced. Because basically what wound up happening with that judge is he didn't – because he basically was able to send him to jail for the first crime,
mm-hmm,
because he thought he did the second crime.
Right.
Which still doesn't make it right because he was meeting all his requirements of the probation.
Right.
So it goes to show you how like there's no justice for us in this system. And this guy was charged on 5 counts for rape, felony sexual assault, and attempted rape. But then at the end wound up only being convicted of felony sexual assault and then got 6 months and 3 years of probation.
Right.
Additionally, Turner was obliged to be registered as a sex offender for life and to complete a rehabilitation program for sex offenders. Miller's victim impact statement to the court was widely disseminated by international media outlets. There was widespread criticism of Judge Persky and the legal system claiming male and class privilege. Persky was recalled by county voters on June 5, 2018. So I guess he lost his judgeship over it. So, on November 1st, 2016, Glamour named Emily Doe a Woman of the Year for changing the conversation about sexual assault forever, citing that her statement has been read over 11 million times. The case influenced the California legislature to require prison terms for rapists whose victims were unconscious and to include digital penetration in the definition of rape. In September 2019, Miller relinquished her anonymity and released a book entitled Know My Name, a memoir, in which she discusses it. So the dude got 6 months.
Right.
Wow. That's insane.
The dude got 6 months and 3 years probation. You got something?
Yes, sir. I want to bring out Ezekiel 5.
Go ahead.
Verse 8. It says, therefore, thus said the Lord, behold, I am against thee. So it's evident that, that God's against the blacks, Hispanics, Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to judge. We're getting judged by them, you know? And it says, I will execute judgment in the midst of thee, in the sight of the nations. So all these things are happening to us. They posted on the television screen, on your internet. Everything that, that happens to us is bad things that happen to us. So it's evident that we're the people of this book. And we're going to be in this condition.
Yeah, that's a good point that you bring out with that scripture. Like, you see who is this happening to as a people? Right. Who do you see this in the media? Yeah, sure. Are there some white people that might go through some stuff like this? Absolutely, right? I mean, are there some Chinese? But what do you see the majority of, right? Right, what do you see the mass thing? It goes back to how you opened it up, and I'm glad you went with that. That it, compared to what Israel goes through, meaning the blacks, Hispanics, Native, Indigenous, the other nations don't. Go through those things. It's, by and large, I mean, it's obvious what you see.
It's
look at this. This is like a perfect example of it.
Right.
You know?
No, and then if our people do get charged with something, they don't get arrested and released the same day after posting $150,000 in bail.
Right. No, we ain't got
A lot of times they deny us the bail.
Right.
Or they set it so high, like, you know, that we can't pay it anyway.
Right.
You know. Get me Deuteronomy 28:37, right? Because there's another one that's really good for you to understand the sentiment that they have in regards to us.
Brock.
The book of Deuteronomy 28, verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all the nation, whether the Lord shall lead thee.
And this goes perfectly with Deuteronomy 28:50 about the fierce countenance that they won't have regard. Why? Because they don't see us as human. They don't see us as anything but all the derogatory things that they say about us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it says, among all nations.
Right.
That means any nation outside of us where the Lord will lead you. And it's telling you, that means that they have a proverb, they have a byword for us in every language under every nation.
Right.
All right? Proverbs like a stereotype, right? Like, I'm looking up the definition now because some people think Proverbs, and obviously they're just thinking of Proverbs in the description, but it says, a short, pithy saying in general use, stating a general truth or piece of advice. Because stereotypes are not entirely untrue, but that's what they roll with, and then it skews their judgment in how they deal with us. And that's how they roll with it. So a byword, being called anything outside your name.
Right.
You know, so part of that is the last names that we carry. We talk about that when we go through historically these things. But the scriptures clearly tells you that these people won't care about that. Right.
Yeah. Even when we're at Tabernacles and then the park rangers were giving what they thought were compliments and saying, oh, you guys are so organized and everyone's so well behaved.
Right.
That goes into the Proverbs because they think, OK, a bunch of blacks and Hispanics. It's going to be nothing but rioting, drinking going on, all manner of wickedness going on. So when they compliment us, they don't understand that that's actually an insult to us because, like Captain said, they don't see us as people. They see us as these savage animals.
Yeah, because the brother had come up and he said, yeah, like the rangers and everybody here, they were all like because the first day we got there, they had like the sheriff there in his car, like parked there. And, you know, Officer Fierce driving me around. I said, what's the sheriff doing here? He was like, you know why he's here. I said, mm-hmm.
Right.
And he wasn't there after, like, the first day because they saw we was, like, in order. But he's saying one of the officers came up and was like, yeah, you know, they were saying that, you know, we're so good and, you know, we're so organized, this, that, and the other, and they're really impressed and this. And, you know, I got to ask myself, like, do you say that to all your guests that are here?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, so to me, I know what they're trying to say. The only thing that's missing is the actual words.
Yeah.
For blacks or Hispanics, for niggas and spics, you guys are pretty organized. And, you know, you're handling this thing pretty well.
Now, let me get a piece of that carne asada, nigga.
Yeah, right.
Let me get some of that carne asada.
Right.
Give me Psalms 55. And let me start at 20.
Psalms, drink it down. It always goes down smooth.
Yeah.
The book of Psalms, 55, verse 20. he that putteth forth his hands against such as at peace with him, he had broken the covenant.
Right. So even though, like, this guy didn't commit any crime, even though, right, he was at peace with everything, right. He said he put off his hand. The jury found him not guilty, and he overruled that, right? He broke his covenant. And that's one example. You look at it as a broader example, a macro example. This is how they roll, all right? They made treaties with us. They've made agreements. They've done all these different things, and they've broken every one, right? Come on.
Verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter.
You know, you see how they framed the excuse for how they painted the bullet hole on the young man's head,
right.
The eloquent words they used to justify the conviction of the Brock Turner and how much lighter of a sentence that was.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Notice how they went out of their way in the article to give the credentials of the doctor at the end after his nastiness jerking off on
about how he rose to prominence.
Right. About how he rose to prominence and stuff like that. It says his words were smoother than butter, but
war was in his heart.
And you got to understand that. That's that fierce countenance that it's talking about in Deuteronomy 28 and 50. Mm-hmm. We can never forget that. Yeah. That the Most High sent this man against us, and he is fierce. He has no favor to the young, no regard for the old. Come on.
His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords.
And it's just really, I mean, that scripture, like, it epitomizes how they roll, how they deal with us.
Right.
And, you know, that's why I had the title of the show today, you know, A Nation of Fierce Countenance. We cannot forget that. And like I said, I was really taken aback by that sentencing thing. That thing, like, really threw me for a loop.
No, right. Look, it says that he put forth his hands against such that be at peace with them. This brother was so at peace with obeying the laws of the land, the powers that be, that a year later after... Then he went and turned himself in. Most people within Israel would just be like, oh, well, I mean, they haven't said anything yet, so let me just not say anything at all.
Right.
But he was trying to get ahead of it so much. He's like, hey, listen, my probation's almost up in a couple of years, man. Like I'm trying to not mess this up. And then still got sentenced. That's insane.
Right.
Listen, though it tarry, wait for it. Their iron will surely rust.
Oh, yeah. That's right. That's right. Anything else you guys want to add? We're gonna wrap it up. We got like a little bit left.
No, I just want to say that's part of that crafty council that's speaking
yeah,
about.
Right. You're in the spirit with that. Yeah, that crafty council has a lot of levels to it. You know, we can't think it was just this one meeting that they had. It wasn't the Council of Nicaea. Yeah, that's part of it. It wasn't when Constantine changed the Sabbath. That's part of it.
Yeah, it wasn't just, hey, let's put them on chips and then what?
Exactly.
It was much greater than that.
Yep. Anyway, so that's the Power Hour, Lost 144K. Lord's Will be on next Sabbath. And with that, we say shalom.
Shalom.